This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, wow. This is going to be a fun hour. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk to somebody whose books are all about bread, and I love bread, so this is going to be fun. But right now, I'm turning to an author, and, you know, during these pandemic-y times, we need all sorts of books, and you never know what will just be the right book for you. And so I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Kate Hallo, did I say it right? I keep getting it mixed up. It's Holohan, right?
That's right. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Kate Holohan. And the reason I do that is I had a friend when I was a little girl whose name was Hallohan. And I'm going like, what name is this? But it's like Holohan.
Yeah, like Ola and Han.
Exactly, like Ola and Han. And so apropos for your book, what am I going to say about this book? You know, it is, as I was saying to people, you know, you never know what kind of book will take you away and just take you to another place. And during this pandemic time, I mean, I've gone through my own self. And, you know, I read a lot of books. There are days when I need to read something happy. There are days when I need to read something that nonfiction. There are days I just need a different type of book, depending on, you know, what's going on in the world, I think. And so this book, a real psychological suspense book, I thought, wow, yeah, there's times when a book like this is just perfect because it's a page turner and you just absolutely forget about your own problems. and you think, well, your life's not so bad.
That's right. Well, I also hope it's entertaining and that it makes people think a little bit about all the technology that we have and the tension between that and privacy. Because the story is about a couple, Jade and Greg. Greg is a 52-year-old successful architect, and Jade is this second marriage for him, a 32-year-old interior designer who has a blog about Caribbean-inspired design. And so they're kind of getting ready to start their new act together, and there is a home invasion, and Greg is over and then, the head with a crowbar.
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to tell more about what happens in this invasion, because I think that's part of the, well, you know, when you're reading this story and you get into it, you don't know at first what's going to happen, and then bad things happen, right? You know, bad things happen quickly, and it changed the dynamics, and then after that, you've done a beautiful job of sort of layering the clues, layering the stories, and it's told in, alternate views. So I don't want to give away what's going to happen, but boy, it was quite a feat for you to keep this story so intriguing all the way through.
Oh, well, thank you. It was, you know, I have some really cool characters in my head, and I think that they all have flaws that, you know, you could see them making mistakes that then would lead to other mistakes and potentially have gotten them involved in something criminal. But so I hope I keep people guessing, and then I hope also people kind of sit there and feel the tension of you know, watching security cameras and trying to keep your family safe and what happens if maybe that leads to spying on loved ones.
Exactly. The tech part is fascinating because although you see, you know, you have the door ringing thing now, you don't understand how very pervasive it can be and how invasive it can be.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I have these cameras. In fact, I've had the Nest cams in my house since my kids were little. It was our way of kind of, it was like a baby monitor for us. And as they got older, I started to realize, you know, I probably should remove these cameras because they would get into arguments and I would say things like, you know, I can go to the tape. I'll see who did it first. I can go to the tape. And then I thought, you know, that's not such a good thing. A kid probably shouldn't feel that their whole life is on video, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And you don't know just how much you want. You also, how much you want to know, you know? let them fight their battles and come out and, you know, and you don't know some of this stuff because it is disturbing to actually spend your time. And then you think about the people, well, they're spending their time watching other people when they should be doing something more interesting with their lives. So, you know, it's a funny thing that happens. But I think that a lot of people do use these cameras. Perhaps it will give them some moments here to pause and say, woo, like you did.
But at the same time, they're so convenient. I mean, it is nice to be able to use the intercom system, and if someone's leaving a package at your door, to be able to just say, hey, leave it, and you don't, especially during a pandemic where we've been trying to limit social contact. So they have these, there's so much great about them, but then there's this other side of what happens if you abuse the technology and become glued to these feeds.
But it all comes down to a book like this to make it's suspenseful. You have to create characters that your readers will really find fascinating. And I particularly, of course, like Jade and the way you've developed her.
Oh, thank you. She was a fun one to write for me because I got to use some of my own heritage. My mom is Jamaican and my father is Irish-American. And I made Jade a Jamaican-American character, so I was able to include, she's a lifestyle blogger, so she has some Jamaican recipes, she cooks Jamaican food, she has, her mother is in the story, and she, when she gets upset, she speaks in patois. So I was able to kind of include some of my own culture in there, and that was fun.
Well, yeah, I think that's what really, it gave the book depth, a different, you know, somebody different, somebody that we don't normally have a Jamaican character. And so it's just, I thought it was really, really great. And it obviously, you know, we always want to have it be inclusive and to have people of different colors, different, you know, backgrounds is great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was fun to be able to include some of that. And yeah.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it also opens people's eyes a little bit about Jamaica, and it just makes people curious, and I like that about a book. It's like, I have a Finnish background, so if somebody puts a Finnish character in there, I'm like, yeah, I want to read that book. You know, so
right.
It's just, I think it's really cool, and I like it very much. Now, with the suspense, and I was thinking of another author, B.A. Paris, you know, also writes very suspenseful books and makes you really, you're like, really don't know where it's going to go. And it's amazing how excited one can become. Just, you know, so your sort of heart rate goes up as you go through this the suspense book, and you just wonder how does a writer do that? You know, when you start writing it, do you know exactly where you're going, or how does that happen? Because you have to sort of build it up in layers and move, you know, have sort of set the dial going up and down with this.
Yes. Well, I'm a big plotter. I have an Excel spreadsheet, usually like an Excel document, and I'll have like one page, which is the chapter by chapter breakdown and like how the A storyline is in one column and the B storyline, and then you have how they're going to link up. And then I have another page in that same document that has kind of the character arcs and stuff about their backstory and kind of things that I want to hit. So they have some growth over the course of the novel. And of course, when you're writing all of this, it changes, and sometimes characters do things where you realize you're forcing a point, or they would have to, something about their background or their flaws or their personality would have to change in order for them to do what you had planned, or, you know, or they can't do what you planned, and then you have to plan something else. So it's always this back and forth between plotting a lot, writing, and then going back and replotting, and then writing again.
Well, it reminded me of one of your other earlier books, Lies She Told.
Yes.
Well, you have a thriller writer who has to write a thriller.
Yeah. I know, that's really a book on craft.
I'm joking.
That is a book about kind of how much of writing comes from, is borrowed from the author's own life and subconscious, and that's where the tension comes from in that book. And,
yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know. Wow. When was your first book published?
What was it? Was it 2015? I have to look.
Oh my! Oh. So long ago.
Let me look. Oh, let's see.
What was the first? The first one was.
The first one was Dark Turns, and let's see. That book was published. Yep, I was right. 2015.
2015. Well, that's when I started my radio program. So I was just starting off. I had actually started with one day a week, and I didn't know a lot about publishers or publishing, and I didn't know a lot about I didn't know any authors. So I didn't get you early on in your career. Can you believe it? It's 2021. So, but I'm also celebrating 6 years of doing this. But
congratulations!
Yeah, I just had the 6th anniversary, which is very exciting because now I've had like over 300 New York Times bestselling authors on the program, and 11 Mystery Writer of America authors on the program, grandmasters on the program. So it's very exciting, and you've done, you know, this is quite a bit of writing that you've done in 6 years. I mean, because your books are not easy. They're not like ones that you can just sort of run off in a month or so.
I used to be a journalist, so I'm used to writing every day. And so I think a book a year schedule is pretty good for me because I can do a first draft in a couple of months, and then it goes through an editing process. But in fact, sometimes I wish I could write more. I think there's always that tension of whether or not the market would support more than one book a year. But
well, now of course, this crazy times. It's crazy times for marketing a book. So, how did you first get published? What was the steps? Being a journalist, of course, gave you a leg up on everybody else who's trying to find an agent, trying to find a publisher.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I don't know how much it did because it was such a different world. You know, I was writing for business magazines. I worked for Business Week, and then after that, I was a producer behind the scenes at CNBC. So it was this very kind of specialized business writing. I mean, writing is writing, and you still have to tell a good story, and you have to bring it in the characters. But so I think it gave me a discipline of writing every day, but it didn't really give me any kind of in into that world. I had to go to conferences and meet people and agents, and then eventually through the Algonquian conference, I met my agent, Paula Mounier, at Talcott Notch, and then she took me on as a client and sold my first book.
Wow. Well, and I often tell my... many of my listeners are writers, and now in this past year, many, many people who weren't writers before have started because, you know, they had the time finally in their lives. And I was telling them that there are so many, you know, it's one of the ways to meet people and to get, you know, into the business is to attend conferences.
Yes, I think they're so important. The problem that we have is that I did it. I got that big book of agents, you know, and I sent my query letters off and my sample pages. And I think it's just very difficult to break in that way because agents are inundated with all of this material. And, you know, it's like anything. If somebody sees your face and goes, oh, this seems like a smart, serious person who's taking this this career and this book seriously, that then they are more willing to actually read your submission with kind of an eye to whether or not they want to take you on as a client.
Well, I think that's exactly right, because so many people do. Well, and I've just had recently a whole bunch of people writing me. Yeah, you know, I got the you know, the A to Z agent books, and I said to so many of them, you know, what happens is by the time the books are published, because you know how long it takes for a book to get published, half of those people aren't. You know, they're not agents anymore. They've gone on to become television producers or this or that or whatever. And so you're sending letters and you don't know what's happening. But for you, of course, it helps that you have this journalist background and you can do a really great press release. So many authors, you know, they're on their own. They don't know. Even the ones who have a publisher, the support is for very, very limited time after a book comes out. You have this release date, and then you have some coverage, and then after that, it's up to you.
Oh, that's true. In fact, I'm still struggling with it because, you know, what I did, it was very much writing articles, so I never had to kind of pitch anything. I had to pitch story ideas, but, you know, a lot of times companies want a certain amount of coverage. So I didn't have to kind of like sell the story necessarily. And there is this whole avenue where it's like you have to kind of sell it on social media and reach out and tell people about your work. And it's a different skill. And I think I'm trying to learn it. But marketing is it's a serious skill that a lot of people make their whole jobs. And
you can't depend just on your publisher. I mean, you have to get out there and do things, too.
Absolutely. And I've been fortunate in that I've been working with Merrill Moss Media, and they actually have some professional publicists that have been super helpful, because sometimes I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, they're great. They send me so many great people. I said one day, I said, another stack. I come into the studio. Sometimes I have this stack of like 8 books waiting for me, and many from them, because they're very active. And that's what you need in a publicist. You want a publicist who's eager and who loves your work and is out there really pushing for you. Because,
yeah,
I mean, otherwise it can just sit there and not move. Now you've been, you know, you've had some great reviews, good, you know, and you're really moving up there in the world, I think.
Thank you. I hope so. It feels like banging on a brick wall, and eventually, like, one of the bricks moves, and you move another one, and you hope that eventually it falls down.
Yeah, well, this happens. It's, you know, it's funny. I remember I've talked to a couple of authors right at the beginning when they were starting, like JoJo Moyes, and I think the first time I talked to her, I said, well, you know, they're going to make a movie out of this. And she said, what? No, I don't think so. And I said, yeah. So, you know, yeah. And this particular story, I think because I think Jade is a fascinating character, somebody that lots of actresses out there would love to play her. I have a feeling this book might be the one that will propel you into getting one of those nice little movie deals, huh?
Oh, I hope so. From your lips to God's ears. I actually did adapt it into a screenplay.
Aha! See?
It's been a finalist in 7 competitions. It's actually now a finalist in the Atlanta Film Festival. So we'll see if...
Okay, now you see, I used to write scripts. I used to work in Hollywood and I wrote screenplays. So when I see a book that I know that I could take that book and I want to write a screenplay for it, which is what happened here with Her Three Lives. I read Her Three, well, as I was reading Her Three Lives, I was thinking, I wasn't actually thinking, I was starting to see myself writing the film. And then after a while, I was just in the film. So you see, I think this one is going to be the one. It's going to be.
Well, I hope so.
It has all the elements. The character development is great. The storyline is great. The development is great, and it will be it will be a, well, you've written the script, which is fantastic. And of course they bless them in Hollywood. They'll run it through five more screenwriters after you, but you know,
I'm aware.
I mean, I used to get these scripts and then I, you know, I like had, they'd say, do something. And then, you know, it wasn't a matter of fixing it because it might not have needed to be fixing, but they just wanted you to do something. So,
they want named screenwriters.
Yeah.
As always.
Well, yeah, always.
I have a couple pilots, too, that are out there and have some interest. Well, and they're always like, well, we'd want to put you on with a more experienced showrunner. And I'm like, I get it. I'm no one.
Yeah, you've been in the business, so you know what happens. But the idea of what you're doing, and I just felt it right almost, I think I was like about 15 pages in, and I said, this is going to be a film. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it on television one day. And I just want you to make a promise that you will come back to Joy on Paper as soon as you have something to announce. If you win one of these contests, I want you to come back because I think it's inspiring for my listeners to know that, yes, you know, you have to work hard. You have to really put everything into it. And this book, you know, this book took a lot of thinking, I could feel that there was a lot of work in this book. It was seamless in the end, but to get there, I think probably took, you know, quite a bit of work. And it's possible you can have a real success in life if you just stick to it. And I think you've done it with this book. It's called Her Three Lies by Kate Holohan. Holohan, I like that name. And Kate, you know, you promise you'll come back when you have an announcement to make. All you have to do is
I would love to. Absolutely.
You tell them.
You called it.
Yeah, you, because I want my listeners to be inspired by you. I think that's what they're looking for. They need to know that, yes, you know, all the hard work they put into something can succeed. And so I think you will. And do you have a website you want people to go to? Yes, you do. I know you do because I've been looking at it.
Yes, it's katehollohan.com. So that's katehollohan.com.
Okay. Well, people, I think if you want to read the book before it's turned into a film, I like to do that. I like to know the book and then see what especially from a scriptwriter point of view. How many words out of a book do they actually use? Isn't it funny how isn't it funny? You have this nice book, it's nice and thick, and then when you go to write the screenplay and you said, okay, I better keep it to like 108 words, 108 pages, maybe 120 pages. How many words am I going to use for my book? Did you feel that way?
Yes. I mean, you're always in the back of your mind thinking like 80,000 words, 80 to 90 is the sweet spot, you know? You're trying to kind of like fall in there.
Exactly. Well, I think that with Her Three Lives, you have a winner. And I'm so glad that you joined me today on Joy on Paper.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And take care. Have a great day.
Okay. And you're going to be back soon, I have a feeling. Okay?
I hope so. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Kate. Bye. Okay. She's nice. Kate. I like C-A-T-E, Kate. Kate Holohan. And you know, it's exactly the kind of book I think they'll pick up for a film. It's a little bit dark, but it's fun. Oh my goodness, I need to do, you know, everybody should toot their own horn. And here I have Rita Moreau, and she's going to toot her own horn, and we're going to play her book buzz for herself. I mean, isn't that nice? When you do book buzzes, you can do one for yourself, and we'll do that, and then we'll have commercials, and then we'll be right back.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Wheeler Dealer by author Rita Moreau, the first in the Ghost in the Camper kooky mystery series. Everything about Mabel's golden years has been a surprise. The divorce, the ghost haunting her vintage camper, the dead guy whose murder she must solve. Here's the buzz. Mabel Gold still isn't sure what happened. Treated by her husband for a busty bimbo the same age as their youngest daughter, the feisty 60-something rejects the retirement community and heads west in a vintage camper. But the RV comes complete with a ghost who needs a good deed to get into heaven. And cracking open a homicide at their first stop in Savannah could lead them both to a new lease on life. Determined to dig up the dirt on the dead Wheeler dealer, Mabel and her phantom companion, Irma, tackle the crime. But with two rich dudes from Dubai, a Willie Nelson look-alike mobster, and a widow nicknamed the Barracuda, all on the suspect list, conjuring up the truth could take a real live miracle. Can Mabel catch the killer before she's the next soul crashing the pearly gates? Wheeler Dealer is the high-spirited first book in the hilarious Ghost in the Camper kooky mystery series. If you like Golden Girl sleuths, zany characters, and sardonic humor, then you'll love Rita Moreau's Witty Whodunit. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. Wow, this is good. And to prepare for this program this morning, I had a piece of rye toast to get me started. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Winnie Archer, because the name of the book is Death Gone Awry. Woo! Hi, Winnie.
Hi.
Okay.
Having me.
Well, I love bread. And so I was bound to love this book.
I love bread, too.
Wow. Okay. Well, the newest book, this is what, number six, I think? Number six?
Yes, this will be number six. It comes out next week.
Yes. Okay. That's I wanted to point that out. It comes out next week. But you can order the book today. Yes. And that's a lovely thing to do because Amazon has an algorithm. And they love when authors get pre-orders, right?
Yes, that is so important.
It is.
And reviews.
Yes, pre-orders, and then order this, and you'll have it right there on the day it comes out. And then you have to do a lovely review, and you have to write about it and tell not only why you love the book, but why you love the recipes at the back, and then perhaps that you actually done some of them and put some pictures up there. Get it onto your Facebook pages. Make some of these breads. Wow, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so exciting. Having a book come out is always a thrill. Doesn't matter, you know, if it was my first or like this one, my 23rd or 24th, I think. Yeah, it's always really, really exciting.
And of course, with this one, we have, well, of course, rye bread. That is my favorite. I'm a Finlander, so we love rye bread. I mean, rye bread and pumpernickel are our go-to breads. So it was a real thrill to, I checked out the recipes in the back. And this is a mystery series, and I think what's interesting about it, of course, it's set in a coastal town, and the first book was, what was the first book?
Needed to Death.
Needed to Death, and that's where you set out and started the story about a bakery called Yeast of Eden, a Mexican bread shop, a perfect name, and the story about Ivy Culpepper and how she comes home to this seaside town and Santa Sofia in California. And you've developed over these six books, you've really sort of fleshed out this town, so we know it, and we know some of the other businesses and a lot of the people in this town. This has been fun for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's been really, really fun. I'm a native Californian, although I live in North Carolina now. But, you know, I guess my heart will always be in California, or at least part of it. Three of my oldest kids live there still, so it's fun to go visit, to do research, and then to create just one of my dream towns. All of my book series have towns in which I would love to live. They're just my perfect settings, and this one, Santa Sofia, I named after my daughter Sophia.
Ah.
So it's been really fun to develop it, like you said, over the course of these six books, and then there are two more to come. So yeah, it's been really great.
And of course, a bakery, Yeast of Eden. It's just very clever.
Right, Yeast of Eden is one of my all-time favorite books. So I thought that was a pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, as I'm reading, in all of the books, I'm reading about the breads, and in this book particularly, there's the story about focaccio.
So
tell us a little bit about why it is very special in this book.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Inspiration comes from different places, and the inspiration for the Van Dough focaccia came from an Instagrammer named Vineyard Baker. Her name's Terry, and she's in Massachusetts, and she posts these beautiful pictures of this Van Gogh-inspired focaccia. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's fantastic, because, you know, I want to have a showstopper in each book that is, you know, a little bit more exciting than, you know, your French bread or your baguettes or whatever. So I contacted her and, you know, explained who I was and what I was doing, and if I could incorporate her Van Dough focaccia into the book, and she was really excited. So we have that, you know, an image of it on the cover, if you look at the table. And actually, Terry and I are going to do a Facebook Live making some of this Van Dough focaccia in about a week. I think it's next Friday.
Oh, wow. That's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be watching that, because I think it was a very clever idea on her part. And I think more and more people are interested in having good breads. I mean, it is really, isn't it funny how something so simple that really doesn't require a lot of ingredients can make you feel so good?
Yeah, it's kind of that soul-feeding thing, you know, it's a comfort. And especially with the pandemic and everybody being kind of stuck at home, there was a big run on yeast and flour at the beginning. So it was really difficult to find yeast and flour in the grocery stores, just like it was toilet paper. I think it's settled down now, but I think everybody, you know, so many people turned to baking as something to do while they were stuck at home. So I think there's been this new surge of people experimenting with bread, which is very cool.
I think it's wonderful. And it's just, if you're going to eat bread, then you should eat good bread. It's ridiculous. I realized, you know, I've never been able to eat just bread from a store, like in a plastic wrapper. I was raised on good bread. Coming from northern Michigan, we had great bread all the time. And I used to do bread myself, not as much as I do now, nowadays, but I still buy good bread. I find a bakery where they make real bread without a lot of ingredients. You know, if you buy bread, even in a grocery store bakery, you look at the list of ingredients, you're like, what? All you need is some flour and yeast and a little bit of sugar and, you know, a few other little things. So I think that was part of the fun. As a matter of fact, three times I think I had a rye bread sandwich because of this book. You know, I don't know. You know, it does it. And of course, the focaccia idea of making it into art is a lovely idea.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really interesting too. And I agree with you. There's nothing better than fresh homemade bread or bread from a traditional bakery that does it the right way with long rises and quality ingredients and, you know, everything that it takes to just level it up.
Well, I think people will read your books and they'll be inspired, actually. So the bakery should just love you. They should carry these books. They should have like a shelf, you know, one of those spinning shelves in all the big bakeries. They should put you up there. Winnie Archer's books, because the covers are so beautiful. They're Kensington covers, of course, so you know they're gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So any bread bakeries out there, start carrying these books.
Yeah, they really should. They'd sell more bread. I think they really would. You know, sometimes you should start in your own area, your own place, go to the bakery and say, look, let's put up a display here. And people will, you know, nowadays you have to do your own marketing. Now you have, this is a very nice series. It's called the Bread Shop Mystery Series, and you're up to book 6. And they are just, they're very nice, you know, stories, very well written. Of course, you're a good writer because you've been writing for quite a while, and you know a lot about writing. So they're very well written. You really know how to paint a picture, not just with bread, but with words.
Thank you.
And when you're looking for marketing ideas, sometimes you really do nowadays have to think out of the box, or in this case, think into the bakery. I think bakeries would love to carry this book. If you do a simple display, put up some books, and people will buy them.
Yeah, that is a great idea. I am always looking for new avenues, new ways to reach readers. You know, the reason that writers write is to share their stories. And we can't do that without readers. So, yeah, that it's always exciting to find a new pathway to having readers discover your work.
Well, I'm thinking right here in our area, and we have the Intercoastal Waterway and big, long beaches here in Clearwater. And there is one particular French bakery, actually. That's where I go for my bread. And they have a coffee shop, and they have a lot of tourists sitting outside, you know, and it's really lovely. And I can just imagine many of them, if this book was in the store on a display, they would pick it up because they're just sitting there drinking their coffee, and they would love to read this book. So, you know, this is I'm giving you this marketing advice free of charge. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. You know what I'm going to be doing all afternoon now is a bakery.
That's it. Why not? You know, it gets your name out there. Although Winnie Archer is a name that it's not the name on all of your books, but it brings fans in. And I was going to ask you that question. Why, when you decided to write this series, did you decide to use a different name?
Well, that's a good question. So I write as Melissa Bourbon. Bourbon is my maiden name, and I have several series under that name. And when this series came about, it was with a different publisher, so it's with Kensington, and they actually requested that I have a different name so that they could publicize it and promote it as a debut series with a debut author. It all comes down to placement and co-op space and, you know, bookstore space and being able to release as a debut author under a new name. gives them other opportunities that they might not otherwise have.
Well,
I think
that's
why I have to sing.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea because it is a separate from your other style of books. So if people are looking, it's a lovely name too, by the way.
Thank you. It's my Winifred. Winnie was my grandmother's name, and then Archer is a family name on my mother's side. So
yeah,
a new name. I wanted to make it personal.
Well, you're really honoring her because with this name, I think it. I love the name, and it's memorable, and so. For this series, I think it's just perfect. And somehow, it's because it's a little bit old-fashioned, it really works with the bread idea. You know, it really does.
Thank you.
It really does. And definitely, I think you should look into marketing like that because it's so important. I want more people to read. And I've been trying to think of more ideas for authors on how they can promote their books because... Sometimes people want to read and they think, well, how am I going to, I want, you know, something different. And if it's right there and you're in the coffee shop eating bread, you say, yeah, I want to read this book. So I hope you have some success with that too. But because I know that you are one of these people who really want to encourage writers and you do things for writers.
Yes, I have. I'm an editor, so I do freelance editing. I have a section on my website that's just for writers with resources, and I'm actually in the process of launching a coaching program called Writer Spark. So it's still a bit in development, but I was an aspiring writer at one point, you know, and I was just a mother and a teacher and a wife and a daughter and all of these things, and then I had the good fortune to be. Successful with my writing career. And so I think it's very important to give back and support people who are in a place where I once was, you know, and to offer the support along the way.
Well, I think it's great. And I know the group that you're starting is called Writer Spark. And you also have, you know, valuable things that you want to share with authors so that there are so many, it's so difficult today for an author. I think Jane Austen, oh, you had it so easy, Jane. Jane, you had it so easy. She doesn't realize, go back in time. She didn't have to do all of this stuff, right?
Right.
Wow.
I think for readers, finding a book sometimes, or finding, you know, your book is like a needle in a haystack, and there's just so much out there, so figuring out a way to stand out and attract the readers that you want is definitely work. Definitely.
Well, and I, of course, I do like the idea of bread, because when you do have a book release, you can have bread there, and that all, you know, all at events, that can also attract people. Another mystery writer I know, Rita Moreau, who does book buzzes for our show, she has a series, Mary Catherine Mahoney series, and in that book she has two Greek aunts. So when she has a book release, she serves Greek food. Oh boy, does she get a crowd!
Oh, I bet. Yeah, it's great to have a little hook and a little draw like that.
Exactly, you need that because there are so many things that you have to learn how to do. Between the social media and just developing marketing ideas, it's not easy.
It's not, yeah. That's a full-time job in and of itself.
Exactly. And of course, you're very lucky being with Kensington. They do covers. They have incredible cover work. They're so distinctive that when you see them, you say, whoa, that has to be a good book.
Yeah, they're works of art, really. I mean, they're very intricate. My covers, I love them so much, and they're very intricate and artistic in how they put all of the different elements together and the details of the bread that I feature in the book. Or, you know, and I'm able to give ideas and direction on what I'd like to see on the cover, and they're very supportive of that and welcoming to make it collaborative. So, yeah, I agree. They're beautiful covers, and they do a great job.
And this mystery story is fascinating. I love, you know, It's funny when you develop a character that readers really enjoy. It becomes a sort of the kind of book where people will pre-order it just automatically. They'll put it sort of on an automatic buy list. And I think because you have a nice character there in Ivy Culpepper and all the other people around her, I love, of course, the bakery owner. How do you pronounce it? Olaya Solis, excellent. And Miguel and everybody else that sort of peoples the town. They're just well written, beautifully drawn, and I can see, you know, just from my point of view, from book one, I thought, well, I just want to know these people. I want to read more about them, and so you've done a great job with this series.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's the draw in a lot of ways to the cozy mystery. You know, there it becomes a familiar place, like you said, people with familiar people that are kind of like friends, you know, people that you want to come back and visit. I like to call my cozy mysteries happy murder mystery.
Yeah.
Because despite the heaviness of obviously there being a murder, there's still a draw to these places and to these people that's really, really appealing.
Yeah, we need a body. You know, what the heck? I'm sorry about that, but we need somebody. And Isn't it nice the writer gets to decide which person's going to get it? I mean,
that's a lot of fun sometimes.
Yeah, okay. You can say, that one's going to get it. And then you have to put in along the way a lot of clues and little things that keep the reader going and turning the pages. But it is really part of just wanting to know these characters and caring about them. And I think we do that with Ivy. And we also want to see what else is going to develop yeast-wise in the yeast of Eden, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so much fun, is always figuring out, okay, what is going to be the bread angle?
Exactly.
For the skill of book.
Exactly.
Like the next book is called Murder, A Murder You'll Regret, Y-U-L-E, like, because it's coming out at Christmas. It's coming out in October, but it's a holiday-themed book. So A Murder You'll Regret. And, you know, so coming up with holiday-themed bread and Santa Claus little biscuits and things like that was a lot of fun. That's always a challenge, but always a really fun part of the process, is how am I going to tie bread into this particular plot?
Well, you do it seamlessly, and the bread is done so beautifully, and it has it's nice crust and a great inside. Everything is just perfect. And I don't know, do you watch the Great British Baking Show?
Oh, of course.
Well, Paul Hollywood would like your breads, and he wouldn't say there's any soggy middle or anything.
He would approve.
He would approve your books. There's no soggy middle in her books. I'm telling you that Winnie Archer is a great writer and a wonderful series, and I'm so happy that you joined me today. The new book is Death Gone Awry, and when you get it, have a nice tuna on rye. Oh, there's nothing better than tuna on rye. And people will appreciate it. And do you have a website people should go to? And yes, you do. And it's a great website, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, actually, it's under my other name. Most of my books are written under my other name, so I keep the website there. It's melissabourbon.com, bourbon just like the drink. And, yeah, I have a dressmaking cozy mystery series. My newest series is a book magic mystery series about a bibliomancer set on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I have a couple of suspense.
Well, you know what? You know what? You know, I'm going to say goodbye to Winnie today, but then I'm going to invite Melissa back. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I will invite, and sometime in the end of May, I have an opening, and Melissa's going to come and join me. How about that?
Fantastic.
Okay, so we'll do. So I get two for one. Okay. Okay. A BOGO. A real BOGO. Okay. Melissa. Well, no, I'm sorry. Winnie Archer. I think you're fantastic. The book is fun. And everybody, just enjoy it and bake some bread yourself. And the smell just well, just make sure that if you're reading this book, you're sitting next to the oven so you don't burn the bread, right?
Yes, exactly. Have a nice cup of tea with it.
That's it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Okay. Well, Winnie Archer, thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you, and special thanks to Kensington again, because they are so wonderful, and I just love the cover again. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye now. All right. Oh, she's so sweet. Wow. I love the recipes. I have my own rye bread recipe, which I know by heart, which is my grandmother's recipe. And I could do it in the dark. I could do it by heart. I don't measure anything anymore. I just know exactly how to do it. And it's funny, at the back of the book, she has these wonderful recipes, and all of them are really great. And what I love is, she talks about all the different flours. She has all the details, really, on how to make a really great loaf of bread. So I would suggest that you get the book and can then get some flour and get some yeast and bake it up. Oh, it's going to be fun. And everybody will just, if you have people in your house, they'll love it. And I don't know, can you share things anymore? Can you bring bread to people? I don't know. Make a loaf and eat it yourself if you have to, because it's just so great to have fresh bread. And for me, here in my area, there's a French bakery on the Intercoastal one. You have to go there. So it's just, there's nothing like fresh bread. And my mother used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and we had actually a wood stove where she baked the bread, a real wood stove. Because Finns take two things very seriously, bread and herring. We love herring and rye bread in the morning. I mean, there's nothing better in the world. If I could find some herring people to sponsor this program, I would be so happy. They could pay me in herring, because I want herring every morning. And it's very expensive nowadays. When I was a kid, herring was cheap. Nobody wanted it. Now, I don't know why it's so expensive. And it's very expensive. Anyway, if anybody knows a herring sponsor, tell them to call me. Okay, everybody. Remember what I always say. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry, another Kensington author, and with her brilliant Witch City Mysteries. And I'm hoping that one day soon we will see her on the Hallmark Channel, because we need some new material. Please, people out there in Hollywood, listen to me. I have a whole list of authors that you should be just picking their books up and making new material. I'm so bored with everything else. If I see one more repeat of NCIS, I will go crazy. So please, please, everybody, start writing. You never know. You might land up with some big deal. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. And I have 30 seconds left. And Big Ed is worried that I'm going to keep talking. But he saluted me. I saluted him. And boom! Bye-bye, everybody. I'm out of here. Have a good weekend.